It is so good to see all of you here this morning. Amen. Praise God. And as usual, there's three reasons why I'm very excited, especially when I come to the wilderness, to Wise Ministries. And first of all, because we know that God is in control. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. The second reason why I'm always excited is because there's a word coming from the Lord. It's good to know that God is still speaking to you, especially in these terrible, perilous times. Amen. And thirdly, I'm excited because you could have just stayed in your trailers or your campers this morning, but you decided to come out and worship and praise God. So let's give yourselves a hand clap of praise. Amen. Hallelujah. And so we're just excited about sharing a word from the Lord this morning. And I know we have to serve communion, not that we have to, but as often as we do it in remembrance of the Lord. And so we're excited this morning about that important part of the service. But I want to call your attention to the book of Acts this morning, chapter 3. I believe there's a word there that the Lord wants to share with us this morning. Acts chapter 3. Amen. Acts chapter 3. Can I get a pew Bible? Amen. I'm going to read this in the King James Version, but I'll be preaching from the NASB Version. I'll read it from the King James Version so we can all be on one accord as we're reading the Word of God. And that again is Acts chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. And for those of you who are using your pew Bibles, it's on page 802. Page 802. We'll read the first 8 verses. If you're there, say amen. Amen. And the word of God reads, "Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the 9th hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, 'Look on us.' And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. And then Peter said, 'Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk.' And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God." Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. I love what verse 8 says at the end of it. Entered with them. He leaped up, stood and walked, and entered with them into the temple. The Bible says he was walking, he was leaping, and he was praising God. Hallelujah. Isn't that where we all want to be every Sunday? Don't we want to every Sunday when we come into God's house, don't we want to be walking and leaping and praising God? Hallelujah. Let us pray. Our merciful Father and our God who art in heaven, we thank you, Father, for this opportunity that you've allowed us to come today, to the privilege of coming and hearing your word and fellowshipping one with another. And Lord God, we know that your Holy Spirit is here, for he resides on the inside of our hearts. And we ask now, Father God, that your presence was just run rampant in this place, Lord God, and just flow from heart to heart. Open up our minds, our thinking, that the Holy Spirit can teach us, Lord God. And we pray, Lord God, for forgiveness of all of our sins, that we may be holy and acceptable in thy sight. And I pray, Father God, in the precious name of Jesus, that God, you would just give us what we need. You know about every situation, every doubt, every desire, every thought, every concern. And Lord God, show yourself mighty in this place. We humble ourselves, Lord God. We are nothing without you, but with you, we are somebody in Christ Jesus. So you, Lord God, be glorified. And God, we give you glory now in advance, for we walk by faith and not by sight. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Hallelujah. Again, the place that we all desire to be at is walking and leaping and praising God in his house. But if we were to be honest with ourselves, we would have to admit that there are some days, rather it be during midweek service or rather it be on Sunday morning, when we find ourselves traveling out to God's house and we really don't feel like praising him. Can I get an amen right there? There are some Sundays when we're traveling out to God's house and we know that we don't feel like going, but we go anyways because it's a formality, or it's something that we're used to doing, or we at least have the hope that after we get there that we'll hear something, whether it's by way of prayer, by way of testimony, or a word from the man of God that will encourage us, or that will enlighten us and put springing in our feet, clapping in our hands, and shouting in our voices. Amen. And so sometimes we just need a little help to get to where we need to be. But I just want to give you something this morning that's going to help you before you leave the house. Amen. Before you leave the house, you'll have walking in your feet and springing in your legs and shouting in your voice and praising your tongue. And so as we look at this particular text this morning in the book of Acts, we find in chapter 2, we know that the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost came at Pentecost. We know that Peter preached. We know that 3,000 souls were saved. And we know that the scripture talks about the church being birthed and everybody being on one accord. Amen. They were praying for the same things. They were all in the same place and they were in the upper room. They were helping one another. They sold things. They brought the money to at the feet of the apostle, and nobody was in need of anything because all their needs were met. And I often think, my God, what that must have been like. As a matter of fact, I'm not sure if it's been like that since then. Amen, somebody. And so, therefore, they were doing all these things. The Bible said they were praising God and they were having favor with all the people, which means the surrounding people, though they were not saved, they had respect for the early church. And so I'm finding today that we have some people that are looking to come into the church, but yet they just can't seem to find out how to enter into their season. How many of you know that for every one of us, there is a season, there is a time. And if you're sitting here today and you've been born again, you know that you entered into your season on the day when you became born again. Hallelujah. But there's some other seasons once you become a Christian. And the other seasons is when you can overcome the difficulties and the trials and the tribulations in your life. So you can enter into what's called some sub-seasons under your ultimate season of being born again. And so this morning, I want to help you all to enter into your sub-season. So what am I talking about? The Bible says, if you look with me at Acts chapter 3, verse 1, the Bible says, now Peter and John, they're going up to the temple, and it's the ninth hour, and it is the hour of prayer. Now, the thing I want you to understand is that it says now, which means this is a continuative narrative, which means it continues from chapter 2, where the people had favor with all the people and they were praising God and people were being saved day by day. And so what we want to do as a church is get back to the point to where people are being saved day by day. Amen, somebody. It's time out for somebody getting saved once a month or once a year. Every 3 years, we write down in the membership book that somebody got saved. People were getting saved daily. And so, but here's the point. Here's the first thing I want you to see is that in order for people to enter into their season, rather being saved or into their sub-seasons of overcoming some issues and some temptations in their life, we need closely associated saints that believe in the power of prayer. Can I get a witness? And that's the first thing I want you to see today in verse 1 is that we need closely associated saints that believe in the power of prayer. It's in verse 1 because the Bible says Peter and John were going up to the temple during the hour of prayer. It does not say that just one believer went up during the hour of prayer by himself or by herself. They went up together, which means they had a partnership. And the fact that they had a partnership, it means that they were on one accord. They were together. They were ascending. They were climbing up Jacob's ladder. Good God Almighty. And the thing that we have to understand is there are people who's looking for their season, their breakthrough, and they've got to see us operating together. Come on, somebody. They've got to see us praying together. They've got to see us encouraging folks together. They've got to see us really, truly, literally worshiping together. I mean, sometimes in the service when ain't nobody bothering you, ain't nobody talked about you, but tears just began to run down your eyes because you enter into worship mode and you began to think about the goodness of the Lord and all that he has done for you. And then right where you're sitting, your feet start patting and your hand starts clapping. And every now and then you might shout out hallelujah, glory to God, because you've entered into worship mode. Oh, good God Almighty, I see y'all gonna make me work this morning. I'm getting excited. You see, Peter and John, they went up together. together. And the thing that we got to understand is never be content with where you are. I don't care how much you love the Lord. I don't care how well you know the Lord or how knowledgeable you are of the Word of God. Never be content with where you are. You should always be seeking to go higher and higher in your knowledge of the Lord, higher and higher in your praise and your worship attitude towards the Lord. You see, this word together not only describes two people in a partnership, but it talks about, as far as describing the relation of distribution, which says this: they had something that Christ had given them, and they were not going to be satisfied until they passed it on to somebody else. Good God Almighty. I'm going to stick a pin right there, because everybody in this room has something that God has given you, and whatever gift he's given you, you ought to be sharing it with somebody else for the edification and the upbuilding of the kingdom of God. I tell you, we need closely associated saints. In other words, we might not agree on everything, but we still going to walk together, because we're going to act in the same way as Jesus the Christ. And we got to believe in the power of prayer. They sang the song, "I Know What Prayer Can Do." You don't know what prayer can do until you found yourself in a tight spot and you have prayed fervently on your knees for a significant amount of time, and you didn't get up, because you know that if God didn't do it, you'd never get a breakthrough. Come on, somebody. This is a situation where mom couldn't do it and dad couldn't do it. Your boss on your job couldn't do it and your pastor couldn't do it. But brothers and sisters couldn't do it. But you know that God, unless you do something in my life right now, I'll never come out of my situation. I'm preaching to somebody in here this morning, somebody that's got a storm going on, somebody that's got a situation, and they're wondering, how in the world am I going to get a breakthrough? I stopped by to tell you that if you just go down on your knees and just stay there for a little while, just stay there for a little while until sweat starts dripping off your forehead, until your clothes start to get a little wet and damp from the strain and the struggle in prayer. Because you got to understand, When you pray, Satan wants to form a wall to block your prayers. I wish I had a witness here. Have you ever been praying and talking to God and your mind drift off and start thinking about other stuff and other people and what's going on with somebody else? I want to tell you today that when you lock into prayer mode with God, you are in a battle. You are in a fight. You've got to pray. You got to fight for control of your mind. Don't you remember when Jesus was in the wilderness and he was praying and talking to the Father, and then Satan entered into his mind and tried to tempt him to turn the stones into bread? And what did Jesus say? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. We need closely associated saints that believe in the power of prayer. Amen. What's the second thing? The second thing is in verse 2. Look with me at verse 2. It says, and a man who had been lame from his mother's womb was being carried along when they used to set down every day, or whom they used to set down every day at a gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, in order to beg alms of those who were entering the temple. The second thing I want you to see is that you've got to acknowledge the lameness that is within us. Good God Almighty. I didn't get no amens there, but I want you to know that even though we may be born again, every one of us still have a lameness within us. And if you have not been born again, you are certainly full of lameness. And so this man that was placed at this gate, at this temple, at the gate called Beautiful, he sort of symbolizes where all of us were at one time in our lives. At one time in our lives, we could not walk. Come on, somebody. We could not walk. We were crippled from birth. What that means is we were born in sin and we were shaping in iniquity. But you know, somebody showed up and somebody preached the gospel to us. And when the gospel were preached to us, we began to walk by faith and not by sight. But I want you to see here is that we've got to acknowledge the fact that there's some lameness within us. There's some things, there's some stuff within all of us that causes us to become stagnated every now and then. And sometimes you may not realize it's there until you find yourself in the presence of certain people. Come on, somebody. But I want you to know that within all of us, there's something, whether it's lying or whether it's gambling or smoking or drinking or whatever it is, everybody's got something that we deal deal with on a daily basis. And I want you to see that the Bible says a certain man, which means that it could have been anybody. It could have been you. It could have been me. And one might say, well, I wonder who this man was. It doesn't matter who he was. What God wants us to learn is from his situation. And I stop by to tell you that whenever somebody that you know is going through a storm, don't get so caught up in who they are or exactly what the storm is, but we just need to ask God, what can I learn from what they are going through? Because if that situation were to ever come up in my life, I want to know how to deal with it. And not only that, but pay attention to how they deal with their storm. Because if they can make it through, then guess what? God's not a respecter of persons. If he brings them through, he'll bring you through. Can I get a witness here? He brought Moses through. He brought David through. He brought Elijah through. He brought Peter, James, and John through. And so he will bring us through as well. But there's a problem here. The problem is that we get in our cars, we come out to the house of God, and we have a smile on our face, but we end up showing up for the wrong reasons. I wish I had a witness here. I'm about to come down somebody's street quick, fast, and in a hurry. And then when we get to the church, folks ask, how you doing? You say, oh, I'm doing fine. As a matter of fact, if you're not careful, we'll say, I'm blessed and highly favored. Y'all know what I'm talking about. But I want you to see the Bible here says that he came to the temple. He's at the gate called Beautiful, and he's there to beg alms, which means he's there to beg for money. And I want you to know that's a huge problem. You see, asking for money wasn't the main issue, but the problem was is that he came for something specific every day. And I want you to know that whenever you come out to God's house, don't limit what God can do for you. He showed up expecting money week after week, but I want you to know that God had something better for him than silver and gold, because you see, what God had for him was deliverance from his sins. I wish I had a witness here, because if you were to ask anybody who may be paralytic or what have you, they may be able to walk, but if you don't have Jesus Christ in your heart, you are still paralyzed and on your way to a place called hell. Can I get a witness here? So the Bible says he's at the temple called Beautiful, and he's there asking for money. Now, I want you to understand something about this word from his mother's womb. It means that he has never been able to walk. He's been a cripple all of his life. He doesn't know what it's like to walk. He doesn't know what it's like to jump. He doesn't know what it's like to leap. And he's never been able to praise God. But on this day, he's at the gate called Beautiful. Now, this word beautiful means belonging to the right hour or the right season. And I want to share something with you today, something that's going to blow your mind. How many times have you come to church, you were in the right place, it was the right hour, and it was your season, but you left and you didn't get blessed with what God had for you because you showed up expecting something else? Think about that for a moment while I take a station break. I said you showed up expecting something else. You showed up maybe expecting money, or you showed up expecting God to heal your body. But yet what God wanted to do was some other significant things in your life. And I want to challenge you this morning, saints, that whenever you come out to God's house, before you even get there, before your feet hit the floor in the mornings, I want to challenge you to say, God, whatever you have for me today when I get to your house, I'm coming to receive whatever you got for me. I'm coming so that you can bless me with whatever you want to bless me with. God, I'm going to tell you what I need, but if I don't get it this Sunday, I know it's on your agenda. But whatever you got for me, Lord, do for me whatever you want to do. You see, this man at this gate called Beautiful means hour or season. It means timely. He was on the right place at the right time. It also implies to flourish or to prosper, to increase. He was at the very place where he needed to prosper, where he needed to increase, where he needed to flourish. But all this time, he had not been flourishing. And what was the problem? What was the problem? The Bible says in verses 3 through 5, here it is. You got to expect whatever God has for you. Look with me. It says, when he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, he began asking to receive alms. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? He didn't say, can you heal me so I can walk? He didn't say, heal me so I can leap and praise God. But he says, I want you to give me some money. And look at what they said. So they began to give them attention. But Peter, along with John, fixed their gaze on him and said, look at us. They told him, look at us. And the first thing they wanted to do is they wanted to get his attention, because what they wanted him to realize is we're not just your average Joe entering into the house of God, but we are men who have been with Jesus. We are men who have walked with him. We've seen him walk on water. Good God Almighty. As a matter of fact, I believe Peter would have said, I even walked on water for a moment myself. They have seen Jesus feed the 5,000 and open blinded eyes. And the Bible says that he began to give them his attention. He's expecting to receive something from them. Oh, do you see that? Do you see that? He's now expecting to receive something. It doesn't say he's expecting to receive money, but he's expecting to receive something. Don't you see how they changed his expectation? And I stopped by to tell you, we've got to change people's expectations. We got to remind folk, God can heal you physically, but if you're showing up just for that, you come to the wrong place. I wish I had a witness here. We need to tell folk, yes, God can bless you with a better job, but if that's the only reason why you came to church today, you showed up for the wrong reason. I wish I had a witness here, because God still wants to bring healing to people's minds. He wants to change people's hearts. He wants to give you peace and love and joy instead of impatience and instead of hatred and instead of bitterness. God wants to change those types of hearts. And so the Bible says he is expecting to receive something from them. His mind is now open, and he's basically saying, whatever you got, just give it to me. Good God Almighty. If we would show up with that type of attitude, saying, God, whatever you have for me, just give it to me. I want whatever you have. If we would just lift up holy hands and began to cry out to God and said, just bless me, Lord. Bless me real good. We would be all right. Look at number 4. Go with me now to verse 6. Verse 6 says, but Peter said, I do not possess silver and gold, but what I do have, I give you. He said, in the name of Jesus, the Nazareth, he says, walk. The fourth thing I want you to see is you got to trust in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Good God Almighty. He said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And so what he did was he stopped expecting just money, and he was open to whatever they had for him. And not only that, but he put his trust in Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Good God Almighty. Why Jesus Christ of Nazareth? Because Nazareth is a place where folk look down on, and they didn't think that anything good could come out of Nazareth. Maybe we got some people sitting here this morning, and you came from a town that had a bad reputation, and folk didn't think that anything good could come out of where you came from. But now you can walk with your head up high and say, yes, I came from that city, and I'm not ashamed of where I came from, because it was the Lord who touched me and brought me out of darkness into his marvelous light. Good God Almighty, I wish I had just one witness. Somebody that used to be made fun of. Somebody that used to be talked about. Somebody that used to be criticized. And you realize that even though they tried to put all that stuff on you, you was able to tiptoe through that stuff and still get to where God wanted you to be, because he lifted you above your circumstances and he allowed you to walk on water just like Peter did. Don't you know that God is, your situation might be over your head, but it's under his feet. You see, that's where you should have shouted, because whatever it was that had you down, it was over your head. It was drowning you. But God reached down his hand and picked you up, and he placed your situation under his feet, and now he's carrying you. Isn't God all right? And then I want you to see number 5. I want you to see number 5. The fifth point is in verse 7 and 8. It says, and seizing him by the right hand, he raised him up, and immediately his feet and his ankles were strengthened, and with a leap he stood upright and began to walk and entered the temple with them, and walking and leaping and praising God. I want you to see number 5 is persistency in corporate worship. You see, after you have become closely associated with the saints and you believe in the power of prayer, when you can acknowledge your lameness within you, when you expect whatever God has for you, and then when you trust in the name of Jesus, you got to be persistent in your corporate worship. Good God Almighty, as often as you can, you ought to be in the house of God worshiping and praising God. Because you see, when you look at the tense of verse 7 and 8, this was not a one-time thing. He didn't go in one time and praise God. But this is in the continuance tense in the Greek, which means that he jumped up every chance he had, and he went into the temple every hour that he could, and he walked every chance he had. He leaped every opportunity he had. He praised God every chance that he had.
had. And we need to realize, saints, that it's your season. It's your moment where you can come out of whatever storm that you're going through. And here's the thing that's so good about God is that he will place you in your season and he will bless you, and it'll look like your storm is consuming you. And then out of nowhere, God will just bless you in a marvelous way, because he is an awesome God and he's worthy to be praised. Good God from Mount Zion, I wish I had a witness in the building. I want you to know that God's been better to us than we've been to ourselves. And we need to be able to tell somebody about the goodness of the Lord and all that he has done for us. Persistency, you got to keep on coming as often as you can. Am I right about it? But here's the problem. You can't just go anywhere to worship, because worship ain't going on in every building. Am I right about it? You can't just go anywhere, because every building that has a church or Jesus' name on it ain't necessarily glorifying God. But when you do find a place where you can worship him in spirit and in truth, you ought to be persistent in going. What I'm saying is, just because you might not feel your best, you got to press your way out to the house of God. Am I right about it? Just because every now and then folk may look at you a little funny, you got to press your way out to the house of God. Every now and then the old car might not be running right, but you got to press your way out to the house of God. You know, sometimes on Sunday morning, the children and the grandchildren ain't acting right, but you got to press your way out to the house of God. And then sometimes you think, oh, well, I ain't going to get a word today. You got to walk by faith and not by sight. You got to be persistent in spite of what the devil places in your way. You got to press your way out to the house of God. Hallelujah. Give him a hand clap of praise. The Bible says in verse 9, it says, and all the people saw him walking and praising God. In verse 10 is the kicker verse. It says they were taking note of him as being the one who used to sit. That's past tense. Used to sit at the gate called Beautiful, begging alms. And I want you to understand something. The fact that the text says they were taking notes of the fact that he used to sit there, which means that this was after he had continued to come day after day after day. Because in order to take notes of changes in somebody's life, it takes time. It doesn't happen on the first time or the second time, but week after week after week after week, people see you getting stronger and stronger and stronger, and they take notes. And they were wondering. And the Bible says they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. And so just a personal question. Does anybody ever look at your life and become filled with wonder and amazement at what has happened in your life? If you can honestly say to yourself, yes, I know that people look at me and they're amazed at how far God has brought me. Give yourselves a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. And you know, Satan wants us to think that we've got to get to that place of perfection before we can praise God. But that's not true. Every time we have forward progress, we ought to give him a shout. And here's progress. When you're in a storm and you went to sleep last night, and you wake up the next morning and you may still be in a storm, but just look at it. You are one day further in your storm. That's progress. I saw on the news just 2 days ago, a young lady, 15 years old, committed suicide because of some horrible things that happened to her while she was passed out and unconscious. When she realized what had happened to her, she had no hope. Perhaps if someone could have shared with her that you've been crippled, but God can cause you to leap. He can cause you to worship him and praise him in spite of what's happened to you. If someone could have shared that, perhaps she'd still be here today. And saints, none of us are exempt from becoming crippled for a moment. But always remember, we need that closely associated saints.
We need that partnership. We need those who believe in the power of prayer. We need to be so confident in the fact that once we get in touch with God, that whoever and whatever we're praying for, according to his will, he's going to do it. Anybody know that trouble don't last always? That weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. That's not literally in the morning, but it's saying your season of joy will come if we just wait on him. Amen. Hallelujah. We're going to serve communion, but let us have a quick word of prayer. Our Father and our God, which art in heaven, perhaps maybe there's someone here who's never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. And if that person is here, I pray that you would open up their minds. And Lord God, and reveal enough of you that they will receive you into their heart, that they will become a child of God and enter into the kingdom of heaven. I pray for salvation all over this room. I pray, Lord God, that your will be done. We thank you for the word. We thank you, Lord God, that you've shown us. And whenever we come to your house, it's our season. You're an on-time God. You know exactly what we need. So will you touch our hearts right now? I pray, Lord God, that you would bind our hearts together right now. Cause us, though we are many, to operate as one. Cause love and good, kind words to always be on the end of our tongues when it comes to speaking of one another. Cause us, Lord God, to know that you are using each one of us to your glory. And that, Father God, one day we'll hear your small, still voice say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Cause us to have joy. Cause us to have leaping in our legs and shouting in our voices. Joy in our hearts. Would you do that for us, Lord? We thank you now in advance. In Jesus' name, amen. If there's one here today who's never been born again, you've never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, if you're here today and by faith you want to receive him into your heart, that you may be able to shout and leap and praise God. And praising him is not always physical, but sometimes it's emotionally and mentally, when you can just sit in your seat and tears are just running down your eyes because you're just thinking about how good he is and how good he's been. So there's different forms of praising God. Amen. Not everybody jumps like I do, but we have our way of praising God, and he knows our hearts. Amen. If you're that person today, just raise your hand. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Amen. At this time, we shall prepare our hearts and our minds for serving Holy Communion. We find our instructions for serving Holy Communion in 1 Corinthians chapter 11.